Chapter 14.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy.
The cell wasn't usually occupied after mid-meal. John frowned at the sound of sabers clashing, half a step behind his master. They'd been using this room every day since his introduction to the temple 5 months ago, and they'd always been alone. John wasn't thrilled about an extra set of eyes on his back, considering that he'd been thinking about using Shi Cho in a spar for the first time with his master. He didn't protest when Mace opened the door to the cell and waved John through. And once he saw who was already using the space, John was glad he hadn't said anything. Obi-Wan was flying through Ataru twists and flips against a tall human man with a shaggy beard and long hair. His strikes were blindingly fast, like they were when John managed to push Obi-Wan into going all out. The man met him strike for strike, parry for parry. John was reluctantly impressed. He stood on the side of the ring with Mace. Padawan Kenobi is facing off against one of the best duelists in the Order, Mace said to John, at a volume clearly loud enough for the sparring pair to hear. You flatter me, Mace, the tall human called, before executing a quick flip and twist that John couldn't quite track, and ending up with his saber leveled at Obi-Wan's throat. The pair disengaged and stepped back. Obi-Wan turned and met John's eyes. John, he called, and quickly hurried toward them. My apologies, do you have the sal reserved at this time? Hi, Obi-Wan, that was a good spar, John said, quiet. That made his friend beam, and John savored the warm feeling that making Obi-Wan happy brought him. Obi-Wan opened his mouth to respond, but the other man had made his way over to the trio. Yes, yes, my Padawan has come a long way. He's almost holding his own in Ataru now, the man said. Obi-Wan's smile turned slightly brittle. The man's tone was proud, and he ruffled Obi-Wan's hair with one large hand that almost spanned the top of his skull. John felt a burgeoning dislike well before he processed the words, "My Padawan." Ah, this was Jin, then. It took everything John had not to snap back and defend his friend from his poor excuse for a master. It hadn't been Obi-Wan's intention, John knew, for him to grow to dislike Qui-Gon Jinn as much as he did. But it had been an inevitable consequence of everything John had heard about his apprenticeship. In front of him was a man who'd abandoned his friend in a war of child soldiers, gotten him enslaved multiple times, and taken out his grief on someone who didn't deserve it. John had no sympathy for Jin in anything. He kept those thoughts to himself, though, at least until Obi-Wan was ready to hear them. Through long practice, John didn't jump when Mace placed a hand on his shoulder. I'm sure you've heard about John from Padawan Kenobi, Jin, but this is my Padawan, John Antilles. Etiquette dictated that John should say something along the lines of, a pleasure, but that would have been a lie. Besides, he had his quiet reputation as a shield. Instead, he dipped into a bow that was a shade off from perfect, subtle enough that only Obi-Wan gave him a strange look when he straightened. Jin scoffed. I've told you 100 times to call me Qui-Gon, Mace. Maybe once you stop being the cause of so many of my headaches, Jin, Mace fired back without hesitation. Jin's gaze finally turned to John. For once, there was no desire to squirm. Instead, he raised his chin and met Jin's eyes head on. He could feel Obi-Wan gaping, and his master gave him a side eye, but John didn't back down. He's a small one, no? I hadn't heard you'd taken a new Padawan, Mace. John couldn't help but push a little astonishment down the bond with his master, testing his reaction. Mace's eyes narrowed at Jin in response. If you count 5 months as new, I suppose. Jin let the pointed comment roll off his back. Yes, well, I've been busy. Of course, Mace said dryly. John was going to have to do something nice for him after this. I'm sure you've been busy diligently training your Padawan, who didn't once mention his new friend. John glanced over at Obi-Wan, who was looking down at the ground, clearly uncomfortable. His friend seemed to hunch further in on himself when Jin waved a hand dismissively. It's so hard to keep track of all of Obi-Wan's friends these days, honestly. John resisted the urge to break that hand. How oblivious did he have to be to not realize that Obi-Wan was practically a temple outcast? Mace cleared his throat. His master sent some of his own confusion, exasperation down the bond. Regardless, I do have this sal reserved every day for the hour after mid-meal. Sparring practice, you understand. An entire sal for beginner's katas? Jin asked, skeptical. Mace sent another wave of offense exasperation down the training bond, and it took everything John had to keep a straight face. Even Obi-Wan had dragged his gaze from the mats enough to stare incredulously at his master. My Padawan is a bit beyond that, you'll find. Perhaps you should listen to the temple gossip if you'd like to know more. Wow. John had to ask Deppa for Mace's favorite tea blender sweet. That was an incredible smackdown that Jin didn't even seem aware of. Mace nudged John to the side and swung the sal doors open in a pointed gesture. Jin huffed, oddly unbothered, and let himself be pulled out the door. Obi-Wan followed behind, but delayed long enough that John was able to sneak in a quick hand squeeze. John could see some of the tension release from his friend's shoulders. John would target the rest tonight. Maybe they could nap on the sal floor again, as they'd taken to doing. When the door finally closed, Mace rolled his eyes hard enough that John laughed. He stopped himself soon enough, but Mace looked so pleased with the reaction that a similar warmth he felt around Obi-Wan took root in his chest. Now that we're finished with that, shall we get on with our spar, John? John nodded, the traces of a grin still hovering around the corners of his lips. He took his familiar position across from Mace, switching his saber to training mode. They saluted each other and began. Spars with Mace were interesting, even 5 months in. There was no doubt in John's mind that Mace could wipe the floor with him. John didn't even stand a chance like he did with Obi-Wan. But, unlike when John had sparred with Dark Woman, who would quickly lay John out on the floor and repeat the exercise until he passed out, Mace kept his abilities just a hair above John's. It made him work for victory, but didn't leave the task feeling hopeless. John gave his all to every spar, could feel himself improving, and the whole time, he had the sensation that if only he kept trying, next time he could come out on top. It was invigorating. During the second spar, Mace pressed his Ataru and Neiman with the pod. John took a deep, steadying breath and let his body flow into Shi Cho. And Mace stumbled. John had been training since before he could remember, and without even thinking about it, he pressed the advantage. His favored form was as natural as breathing, and a flowing series of moves ended with his saber leveled at Mace's throat. They held the position for a long moment. Even knowing that Mace wasn't fighting at full strength, the win was exhilarating. And then, John's brain caught up enough to remind him that he'd revealed his Shi Cho, and he took a step back, flushing. "Well done, my Padawan," Mace said, pride and warmth threading through his voice. "Good job taking advantage of the opening my stumble left you. Excellent instincts." Mace accompanied his praise with a push of his pride down the training bond, and John simply could not handle it. His ears burned. "Thank you, Master," he mumbled. Mace gave him a moment to recover. When he managed to gather the courage to look up, the skin around his master's eyes was soft, his version of a reassuring smile. "You've been holding out on me, John. Your use of Shi Cho was superb. Why haven't you used it in spars before?" John ducked his head again immediately. "Dark Woman wanted me to focus on Neiman, and here, everyone calls it the initiate's form. I was embarrassed." Mace's hand came down to rest on top of his head. It was a warm weight that was reassuring rather than constricting. "There's no need to be embarrassed. Anything that you put such time and effort into should be a source of pride, never shame. And Shi Cho, in particular, is versatile in the hands of a true master. We have a relatively new knight, Kit Fisto, who specializes in Form 1 and is up and coming as one of the best duelists in the Order." John made a silent promise to himself to join those ranks. "Thank you, Master," John said again. He offered Mace a genuine, if small, smile and sent his pleasure down the bond. "Anytime, my Padawan, anytime." John was a dense forest of calm and shadows. Obi-Wan tread along the edges of his friend's shields and felt nothing but calm, with a twist of something more beneath. This type of strategy suited the younger boy. While Obi-Wan liked to envision a placid lake that could field small ripples but was otherwise crystal clear, John was suited more to a sense of mystery and greenery, a still forest. Obi-Wan searched a little deeper and could almost feel the vines and leaves brushing against his arms. There was no imperfection he could find, only perfect Jedi serenity. He withdrew. John scowled from his spot sitting cross-legged on the floor in front of Obi-Wan. Based on the line of his friend's shoulders and the expression on his face, he knew John was unhappy. None of that was visible in the Force. "Your shielding is excellent for the time we've spent on it," Obi-Wan said. He stretched out his own legs so they could nudge against John's hip. "How are you doing with concealing your emotions in the Master Padawan bond?" John was a little like a feral Tuca sometimes. Obi-Wan needed to wait for his friend to come to him. Eventually, John's arms uncrossed and he wrapped one hand loosely around Obi-Wan's ankle. The connection was grounding for both of them. "I don't keep it up all the time," John said, "but Master Mace hasn't felt my last two nightmares." "Excellent," Obi-Wan beamed. He projected his joy into the Force and tried not to feel smug when John's lips twitched out of their scowl. Obi-Wan let the silence rest for a few moments and ignored the foreboding taking root in his own chest. It's not that he wasn't glad to be taking missions again and leaving the temple. Objectively, that meant Master Qui-Gon was getting better, even if he had only recently started training Obi-Wan again. Things between them were still stilted, but not as bad as after Melodon, so he was taking it as a positive sign. It was just, if this first mission went well, it was likely that their mission schedule would pick up again. That meant Obi-Wan might be in the temple only rarely. It had only been 5 months since he'd met John, but there was something in the other boy that had just clicked with him, as if their traumas understood each other. They were better together. They pushed each other and learned from each other, and Obi-Wan hadn't even noticed, but John had become something like another part of him. Obi-Wan didn't want to lose that. He knew his worries were likely nothing compared to John's, who had almost nothing tying him to the temple besides Obi-Wan. The other Council Padawans were kind, but Obi-Wan knew John was keeping them at arm's length. His friend couldn't quite figure out how to make friends unless that friend didn't give him a choice. With the foreboding taking root in his chest and twisting him up inside, Obi-Wan really, really didn't want to leave John behind. Something was going to happen. He just knew it. Obi-Wan didn't dare say it out loud. Instead, he jiggled his ankle until John raised his head and met his eyes. They stared at each other, gray to blue, until John's shoulders slumped. "I don't want you to go," he whispered. "I know," Obi-Wan said. "I don't trust Jin to have your back," John said, a little more firmly. Obi-Wan held in the flinch. He certainly hadn't intended John's dislike of Master Qui-Gon to blossom like this, but there was no going back now. He knew John bit his tongue on a lot of things, rather than risk upsetting him. Distantly, Obi-Wan thought John would get along with Quinn if his friend was ever back in the temple. Quinn had always strongly disliked Master Qui-Gon ever since Obi-Wan had been chosen on Bandimir. He didn't understand why, but the idea of John and Quinn being friends was a pleasant one, and if they needed to bond over their hatred, so be it. They were two of the most important people in his life, even if the idea of them joining forces was frightening. Obi-Wan brushed it off. It's not like any of his friends had even been in the temple the last 5 months, so a meeting wasn't likely to happen soon, especially if his mission schedule picked up again. He brushed off the ache. "I'll be all right, John," Obi-Wan said instead. "With all that you've taught me, I have far more skills in my arsenal than before." John huffed. "I don't want you to get hurt." His voice was painfully earnest. Obi-Wan couldn't help but smile. "I'll come back to you, I promise. Now, I think it's important I get a good night's rest before my mission, no?" He looked pointedly at the pile of pillows and blankets in the corner of the abandoned cell, in the depths of the temple that they'd claimed as their own. Obi-Wan rolled to his feet, carefully dislodging John's hold on his ankle. He held out a hand to his friend. John gripped back tightly and let Obi-Wan pull him to his feet. Obi-Wan didn't let go, even once John was stable, and instead used the hold to tug him toward the mountain of pillows and blankets. With a smirk that John couldn't see from his angle, Obi-Wan quickly turned and used a touch of force-enhanced strength to toss John into the pile. It said something about the trust between them that John only yelped and otherwise let it happen. This time, John's scowl didn't make something in Obi-Wan's chest hurt. Instead, he laughed, like he found he was only able to do alone with John. There was a sensation, almost like a hand between his shoulder blades, and then Obi-Wan was tumbling forward. "Misuse of the Force!" he cried out, still laughing. Obi-Wan angled his fall to slightly crush his friend, and pretended like he couldn't feel John's shoulders shaking with silent laughter. Obi-Wan didn't want to give this up. As they curled together, warmth easily calling up drowsiness, Obi-Wan swore to himself that he would hold on, whatever it took. End of chapter 14.